12 verses together of Matthew chapter 7. In the context of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus teaches, "Judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me remove the speck from your eye,' and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them underfoot and turn and tear you in pieces. Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets." In this reading, particularly the last verse of this reading, is the beautiful command that has come to be known in our culture as the Golden Rule. This is not a biblical name, but it does aptly characterize the beautiful nature of this charge that Jesus gives to do unto others as we would have them do unto us. It comes, as we've just read, in the context after Jesus in verses 1 through 6 has addressed the matter of hypocritically judging others. And Jesus will teach about asking for those things that we need and seeking and finding them in verses 7 through 11. It is in this discussion that he uses this illustration of the Father and the Son asking the Father for something. And then we see in verses 9 through 11 that that is a comparison with God's attitude. And it leads right into verse 12, which seems to indicate to us some things about the nature of these teachings that precede it. For example, a hypocritical judgment of others is certainly not following the Golden Rule. We see that God's example of granting us good things when we ask, we could think of as an example of that following of the Golden Rule. He does to us what is for our best and what he would want done. We see as well that when we do good things to others, we are really following the example of God in the way that he treats us. I'd like for us for a few moments this morning to consider some things about this very familiar passage, but think together about some things that this calls upon us to do in our behavior. I want us to notice, first of all, that this is a command that by its very nature is positive. And what I mean by that is it does not say whatever others want you to do, do that. It doesn't even say if there is something you wish someone would do and maybe they don't really feel like doing it, but you want them to do it anyway. It doesn't address that. It is talking about something that is a positive command. It is not simply refraining from some negative action, but it is doing that which is good for another person. And I want us to notice that it is based upon what we have to offer others that is the very best that we have to offer them. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Proverbs, to Proverbs chapter 1. And I mentioned that this is not simply just doing what others want simply. You know, the Bible has a lot to say about times in which simply following the desires of others can actually lead us in the wrong direction. It can lead us to do those things that are sinful in nature. In Proverbs chapter 1, beginning in verse 10, "My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, 'Come with us, let us lie in wait to shed blood. Let us lurk secretly for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them like Sheol and whole like those who go down to the pit. We shall find all kinds of precious possessions. We shall fill our house with spoil. Cast in your lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path, for their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, that they lie in wait for their own blood. They lurk secretly for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone who is greedy for gain. It takes away the life of its owner. Jesus' words here, I think, as he describes that we are to do unto others as we would have them do unto us, somewhat assume that that which we would want done to us is not sinful in nature. Certainly, if we might desire sin, Jesus is not talking about that. Jesus is teaching that we should act based upon how we would want others to act towards us for our good. And so we act towards them for their good. I want us to notice as well that the golden rule is a reflection of the love of God for man. We noticed in the context of it in the reading in Matthew chapter 7 that it comes immediately after talking about what the Father would do towards His Son and a trust that that's how God will act towards us. We must think about this as it relates to this charge to do unto others as we would have them do unto us. God deals with us in a way that is better than any of us deserve. Go back to the book of Psalms, to Psalm 103. And I'd like us to notice in Psalm 103, let's read beginning in verse 8, and we'll go down to verse 18. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will He keep His anger forever. He has not, notice this, dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear Him. For He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him, and His righteousness to children's children, to such as keep His covenant, and to those who remember His commandments to do them. As we think about God's attitude towards us, we don't deserve the kind of rich love that He has shown us. In fact, we must understand, turn to Romans chapter 5, that God loved us when we were unlovable. God loved us when it was not something that of His feeling, it moved Him to think, oh, they're treating me with such great kindness and love. And yet He loved us even though we were enemies. God acted towards us in a way that we would have wanted Him to act towards us. Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse 6, for when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Now, as we think about the comparison that's drawn in Matthew chapter 7, we see that God expects us as His children to behave like Him. So if we are going to behave like our Father in heaven, we must do good to others. We must love others. We must treat others as we ought to, whether they deserve it or not. Turn to Matthew chapter 5, and I want us to notice the charge that is given here, that we are to imitate our Father in heaven. In Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 44, but I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use and persecute you. Notice this, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for He makes His sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. What would it be like if blessings were only poured out in this life, if rain and sunshine and food and clothing were only bestowed upon those that are perfectly and fully obedient to the will of the Lord? Thanks be to God that even when we have been unworthy, God has loved us. If we are to keep the golden rule, we must practice it as God the Father has shown us first, that you practice it even towards those that don't deserve it. The golden rule also shows us, though, how we follow another commandment. We recognize that on an occasion when Jesus was questioned, he identified the greatest commandment and followed it up with the second greatest commandment. Turn to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22, and I'd like us to look at verses 36 through 40. Matthew chapter 22, beginning in verse 36. Someone asked him, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment." Notice verse 39. "And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." This is what he says in verse 40. "On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." What a powerful statement there. Let's look further at some things that are said about this second commandment that is mentioned. Look over in Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12 and verse 31. This commandment to love your neighbor, we are told that there is no greater commandment than these. Mark chapter 12, verse 31, in the parallel account, Mark records, "And the second is like it is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." So loving God, loving our neighbor, these are greater than all. Look in Romans chapter 13, verse 9. Romans chapter 13, verse 9. It is interesting how often New Testament writers will refer back to the Lord's words here. Here, Paul, through the Holy Spirit, says, "For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment," notice, "are all summed up in this, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." Paul is reflecting what Jesus had said. If all the commandments hang on these things, if these, there is no commandment greater than these, they are all summed up in this commandment. Look in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 14. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 14. "For all the law," isn't that powerful? "All the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." One final text. Look in James chapter 2 and verse 8. James chapter 2 and verse 8. It fulfills the law. It sums up the law. There is no commandment greater than these. On these, the law and the prophets hang. Notice what James says in James 2 and verse 8. "If you really fulfill the royal law, according to Scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you do well." It is described here by the Holy Spirit as a royal law. Now, why do we call this to our attention this morning, the emphasis upon this? We should not necessarily think of the golden rule and Jesus teaching here about the second greatest commandment. We should not necessarily think of these as separate kinds of concepts or separate kinds of things. You know, we might have a tendency to go, "Well, you know, I'm told to love my neighbor, but then I'm told to do unto others as I would have them do unto us." In many respects, we need to see that really the golden rule is the way in which this command is carried out. Because it is something that calls upon us to think about how our actions towards others fall in relation to ourselves. In other words, I may be treating someone a particular way, but is that really how I would want them to treat me? We must think of it in those terms. It demands that we ask, would I want this to be done to me? Is that loving my neighbor as myself? Really, that element of it, I think, draws the connection. If I love my neighbor as myself, that's what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. I'm doing to them as I would want them to do to me. In this respect, I think we must see that it is what we could call very introspective. Look over at Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. What I mean by introspective is we need to think about things as it relates to us, as we would feel if we were in the other person's shoes. We need to think about how something in our actions, in our words, will affect them and how it will be received by them. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, Paul says, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." The golden rule moves these things that we meditate upon, these things that are noble, these things that are of good report. It moves them from meditation to implementation. In other words, I think about what will be the best for the object of my love. I think about how would I want to receive that action, and so I act in turn. But finally, I want us to notice that I think we can also see that the golden rule is proactive, not reactive. What does it mean to react to something? Well, we react to something when out of the blue something comes upon us, and whether we've had any time to meditate upon it or think about it, we just act. Well, this is not the kind of thing that we're talking about, because the golden rule, if I am to do unto others as I would have them do unto me, then it means that I don't just sit back and wait for others to do something before I start doing what I ought to do. Go with me in your Bible to James chapter 4 and verse 17. James chapter 4 and verse 17. As we talk often about the biblical definitions of sin, we will talk about the fact, as Romans 14 teaches, that to act in doubt is sin. We will talk about, as 1 John teaches, that the violation of law is sin. And we will also go to James chapter 4 and verse 17 to consider that we may sin by omission. If we leave off doing something, it is sin. The text tells us here, "Therefore to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin." In the context of our consideration this morning, though, if we are to do unto others as we would have them do unto us, that doesn't mean that we just sit back and wait and all right, if there's some reason I have to do something to them, then I'll do it. But that would be reactive. What I mean by proactive is we must do the good that we know to do towards them. And in so doing, we recognize that we are fulfilling the golden rule. Turn to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. And let's look at verse 22, and we'll go down to verse 25. The golden rule calls upon us to, in the words of James, not to be doers of the word, not to be hearers of the word, excuse me, but to be doers of the word. Notice, beginning in verse 22, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." This is what I mean as I describe this idea of being proactive, not reactive. The one who is a doer of the word is not just one that sits back and hears, "Yes, this is what I ought to do. I ought to love my neighbor as myself." No, that is a good that one knows to do. It is good that one is meditated upon. And so they act towards the other person as they would want another person to act towards us. But finally, I want to throw out for your consideration that following the golden rule demands not only considering what we would want, but it also demands that we appreciate the differences that we have. You know, we are all different from one another. We see that in so many circumstances. It may be that we do not react to the same kinds of situations in the same way. You look at two people, and it might be that one person wants to have constant involvement with others, while another person needs some private time. It needs that downtime. You look at some people and they need to share all of the difficulties that they face in life with one another, whereas other people don't want to feel on the spot or to feel as if they're on when they're going through some difficulty and want to be able to have time to themselves. We are not practicing the golden rule if we simply impose upon someone else what we want regardless of their needs and regardless of their differences. Let's end with the text in Philippians chapter 2. Very familiar text to us. Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Well, this is a text that is very familiar to us, but sometimes familiarity doesn't necessarily mean implementation. It doesn't necessarily mean that we fulfill it in our life and obey it in our life. I hope as we have considered just briefly this morning some of these ideas that are familiar to us, it will challenge us in the week ahead. The neighbor that we have, the coworker that we have, the classmate that we have, the brother or sister in Christ that we interact with, our family member, our husband, our wife, our brother, our sister, our parents, our grandparents, will we follow the golden rule in the way in which we treat them? Will we do to them as we would have them do unto us? If you're here this morning and you've never been obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ, I urge you to put your faith in Jesus as the Son of God. Confess that faith before men. Repent and turn from sin that would separate you from God and be baptized into Christ for the remission of that sin. If as a child of God you have not continued faithfully and obediently to the Word of God, but sin has taken its hold on you and you need to ask for the prayers of the saints here, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.